There are three things I want to draw out of the passage that we've just heard about Jesus calming the storm. Three fundamental things that I think that can teach us this morning about how we can overcome the storms in our life. And obviously I want to put that in the context of loss and the loss of a loved one in particular. Three things specifically about Jesus. Firstly, Jesus was able to find rest, even in the storm. We find Jesus asleep in the boat while his disciples are bailing out the water. Jesus is asleep. He's able to find rest even in a storm. Secondly, unlike the disciples, Jesus is not afraid. He's not afraid of the storm. And thirdly, Jesus had authority over the storm. And those are the three things that I want to draw out as we go through this. Thanks. So firstly, Jesus was able to find rest. And I want to suggest that it wasn't something that he was able to do immediately. It was something that he had practiced. If you read through any of the Gospels, but Luke alone with the Father, alone in prayer, he would take himself away early in the morning or late at night, and he would spend time praying. He would spend time listening to God. That would be a good way of describing it. I've got a friend, he's a very wealthy friend. He's got a lot of floors in his house. And he said to me, "I always like to keep one floor between me and the children." But I don't think Jesus was just doing that, just getting himself away from the crowds. Although, you know, obviously there was a benefit to that. He also had intimacy with the Father because of that. But also, I don't think it was necessarily an easy place to be. When we read the account of Jesus in the desert, he comes across his greatest fears. He is tempted by the devil. So it wasn't just going to a spa or anything like that. It was a difficult time for him. And yet he knew how important he was. He knew how crucial it was to him knowing who he was. Him knowing his identity. Because in that place with God, in that place with the Father, he was able to receive from God his identity and his purpose. And because he was able to do that regularly, he was then able to do it at the drop of a hat in any moment, because he practiced that ability to be in the presence of God. And I want to suggest that's important for us, that when we can, we take ourselves away so that in the time of crisis, we're able to get into that place quickly and easily. Can we have the next slide? A Christian writer called Ian Adams says this: in aloneness, ourselves with is just a facade. We begin to know ourselves. This will almost certainly be uncomfortable, at least at first, but in time, it may bring freedom. We begin to know ourselves. And I want to suggest that through spending time with the Father, Jesus was able to learn who he was because of that time with the Father and because of shutting out those outside influences. And so the starting point for us to be able to deal with any storm in our lives is being able to find rest, being able to spend time alone with God. And there's a whole host of reaction to noise. You only need to take one look at, are there any teenagers here? You know, these things are in the ear all day long. And many of us, I guess, would admit to the fact that we have distractions and noises going on all the time. Even if we're at home resting, there's something going on. Some noise, it might be nice noise, but some music. It's very rare, isn't it, to find a moment in the day where there is not something going on. But it also reveals our addiction to activity. I challenge you just to sit down for a moment maybe 5 minutes, and not think about doing something. Within the first 30 seconds, I suspect you'll start thinking, oh, I must remember to phone so-and-so. I must remember to do this. I must remember to do that. It's really hard, isn't it? In a world which is so busy and so much to do, it's very difficult to actually find rest, real rest. And as I said about Jesus, he was tempted, but it is the place for us where we confront our fears. And if we're able to shut out that noise, it's often quite uncomfortable, because we might be confronted with our fears. We might begin to think about those things that we're anxious about. But I want to suggest that the strength of that is that we also discover, if we stick with it, if we persevere with spending time not alone on our own, but with the Father and seeking God, then we discover that we are loved. And that love is the antidote to that fear. In practice, that might be finding a place in your house that you can be quiet. It might be a time in the day that you know you can be alone with God. It might be just something you do once a day, like go for a short walk. But I want to encourage you to do it. Find that time in the day. Find that space, even if it's a short period of time, and practice it, because it will be effective. And create a 5-minute period in every day where we go, right, come on, God, it's time. Speak to me now, I'm busy. And then we go off and do our own thing. That we are more receptive. We need to remove all those barriers so that God is able to speak, because he's always speaking to us. We need to be receptive to him. So the first point, Jesus was able to find rest. He found rest on a regular basis, but because of that, he was able to find rest in a storm. The second thing about Jesus is that he was not afraid. He was not afraid of the storm, in complete contrast to the disciples that were running around, panicking. We're going to die. We're going to drown. In Matthew, there's a fact that you'll remember, where Jesus talks about creation, and he says, think about nature, think about birds, think about flowers. They don't worry. They don't worry about where their food's going to come from. And he says, in the same way, do not worry. You shouldn't be worried. And the solution to that, the way that he suggests that we go about that, is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things you will be given as well. All those things that you're worried about, they will be looked after. You will be protected. You will be fine. If you seek first God, if you seek God in that quiet place, then you will be okay. And that was the secret that Jesus had. Jesus was able to do that. Jesus was constantly seeking God, seeking the Father. His eyes were not fixed on that storm. He was in the boat, but he didn't see the waves. He didn't see the storm, the rain. He didn't see the water piling over the side. He saw the Father. He saw the Father's love for him, and he saw that provision. He had confidence. He didn't doubt that God wouldn't protect him. And so my question to myself and to us is, what do we do in times of chaos? What do we do when things look bad? What is our first reaction? Do we look around us? Do we see the crisis? Do we see the things that are going wrong? Or do we look to God, and do we seek the kingdom? I remember a while ago now, probably more than 10 years ago, I'd applied for a job. I used to be a secondary school teacher, and I'd applied for a job as a head of science. And on the day of the interview, I remember being very anxious, thinking that our entire future as a family depended on getting this job. And I spent the whole day looking around at the crisis, as it were, essentially. I mean, and there was a moment at the end of the day where I sat in the head teacher's office and he sat me down and he said, "Mark, I'm afraid you haven't got the job." And I went, "Oh." And he looked at me in the most extraordinary face and said, "I've never seen anyone respond to bad news in that way before." And it was at that moment I realised that I'd spent the whole day with this lack of peace. It was just tight because I'd been struggling and fighting all this stuff around me, this storm that I'd created myself, essentially. And I hadn't been looking at God. I hadn't been seeking God. I hadn't been trusting him at all. And that moment was that moment of peace, thinking, "Oh, well, this isn't what God wants for me. That's okay." And I remind myself of that as often as I can, of what it feels like to not have peace, because I think it's important, the contrast to when we know God's presence and his protection and we are able to just look at him and trust him. So we've looked at how Jesus was able to find rest and the fact that Jesus was not anxious, was not fearful. But finally, I want to look at the fact that Jesus had authority in the storm. He spoke to the wind and the waves and they stopped. I think it's a really exciting moment in the gospel. If you read the whole of Luke's gospel, the first few chapters are Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God. This is the moment where he demonstrates it. He demonstrates the power of the kingdom of God in an amazing way, speaking to the storm. Now, I want to put in a little bit of context because... next slide. The Jews that he would have been speaking to at the time would have understood the symbolism of the sea. And if you remember back to the psalm that we heard at the beginning, it's quite interesting. There's two types of water in that psalm, and a lot of it creates, and the river of God is full of life. But there is also the symbolism, particularly in the Old Testament when you read it, a symbolism of the sea, which is actually destructive. The sea is very destructive in many of the passages when you read through books like Genesis. At the beginning, there is chaos, there is the sea. In Jonah, there is the waves and the storm that comes to try and destroy the boat. Daniel, there's lots of symbolism in the prophecies. Even where Moses takes the Israelites across the sea, the sea is the barrier which they need to go through. And in many places, the sea is a symbol of the enemy. It's the power of evil, which is threatening to prevent or to stop or to... And yet time and time again in those Old Testament passages, we see God, the authority of God, coming through and removing that barrier. Moses forging through the center of the sea, pushing back the powers of darkness, pushing back that evil. Even creation itself coming from the chaos of the waves and the sea. When you read the first chapter of Genesis, God creates and his creation comes out of that destruction. And even the passage immediately following the one we're looking at, where Jesus calms the storm, as soon as he gets to the other side, he meets a man who is demonized. He's full of many demons, called Legion. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus casts the demons into some pigs, if you know the story, and those pigs run down the hill into the sea, and it's their returns to the sea. And so I don't think it's a coincidence, and I think it's significant that the Jews and the disciples in particular would have seen the sea as a symbol of the enemy, of destruction, and the threat to destroy God's creation. And that's why this is such a significant and powerful event in this gospel, that Jesus calms the storm. He speaks to that storm, to the sea, and he stills it. He has power and authority over everything, over the storm, over all that seeks to destroy his work. And ultimately, the ultimate threat to God's creation is death. That is the ultimate threat, isn't it? Death brings the end to God's creation. And yet, Jesus himself even had authority over death, even over death itself. The Christian message is that God, Jesus, so what I want to do is just to tie up. And I want to suggest there are a number of things that we can do in order to seek God's presence and his authority over the storms in our lives. The first thing I want to suggest that we can do is to create ourselves a space, a quiet place, and to do it on a regular basis. I want to encourage you, even if it's for a short period, to seek God on a daily basis. I also want to suggest that we don't fear. Look to God. Seek first his kingdom. Pray for his help. Look for his help. Look to him in that storm rather than looking at the storm itself. And finally, I want us to know the authority that we can have in knowing God. When we pray in Jesus' name. There's a reason for that. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, because of that, Jesus has authority over all things. And if we pray in his name, we also have that authority. Jesus offers a hope to those who are floundering, those who are lost in a sea. And it feels like that when we lose a loved one. When we lose someone that is close to us, it feels like a storm that will never end. And as I said already, death feels like and is, I guess, the darkest storm that we face. But I want you to know that even death cannot separate us from the love of God, as it says in Romans. Jesus had authority even over death. And that is the promise, that is the hope that we have as Christians. That is the confidence that we have as Christians. That even though we may be surrounded by a storm, his rod and his staff protect us, as we read in Psalm 23. If you've never experienced God, if you've never heard God speak, can I invite you to just close your eyes a moment? And if God is nudging you now, if you're thinking maybe, yeah, this is what I need, I just want to give you the opportunity now to make that space. Just shut out all the noise and look for him. I want to encourage you to choose to seek God before everything else. Because he will give you peace. And if you choose to listen to his voice today, he can calm that storm. He can give you hope and authority over that storm. And he can offer you a new hope and a new strength. And so, Lord, I just pray that we might know your presence today in this place. I pray you might help us to shut out the noise and the distractions. Help us not to look at the storm around us, but to look to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the creator of all things. And I pray for those that are seeking you now, that they might hear your voice. And I thank you, Jesus, for the gift of life. I thank you for your authority that we can pray in because of your victory over death, the rest of our lives, with no fear, because of the hope that you've set before us. In Jesus' name. Amen.